wonderful Savior. What a wonderful salvation. Got your Bibles? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah chapter number 53. Talking about baptism next week. Why are you turning? I was baptized in the baptistry, but you know, I done all my baptizing since I got saved and started preaching either in the creek, river, or pond. So it's sort of a new experience. Somebody said, we could have got one, then we didn't have to get in there with them. I said, I'd rather get on in there. I'll never forget what old eunuch said to Philip. What's he preaching to him? At this book right here. Prophet Isaiah. He said, who's that talking about? Himself or another? Oh, that's when Philip opened his mouth. You know what he did? Preach what? Jesus, son, to him. And he's preaching to him. He said, what hindered me to be baptized? He said, there's some water. He said, thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. So I hope and pray that if you've been saved and haven't been baptized, you'll want to get in baptism water next week. And also, I want to say, if you're here and not saved, I pray that you accept the Lord. May you be born again, get him in your heart, trust him, and be baptized. All that's going to count when you get through this life is whether you've accepted the Savior or not. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 53. It's not very long. I think just read the whole chapter, look at two or three verses, and got some other verses, just a few. Isaiah 53 says, who have believed our report, whom the arm of the Lord revealed. He shall grow up before him a tender plant out of the root, out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He despised and rejected of men. Man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. By the way, I got to look at that. You know why he was a man of sorrows? Because he bore our sorrows. Apart from ours, he wasn't. Amen. But he bore our sorrows. That's why he was a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief, the same reason. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. See there? Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. You ever wonder why they kept asking him, who was he? He was like a lamb. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. But he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, verse 8, and from judgment, and who should declare his generation? For he's cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich ended his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to his grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, shall be satisfied by his knowledge. And shall my righteous servant justify many, for they shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out the soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgression. And he bare the sins of many, and made an intercession for the transgressors. I want to read verses 4 through 6 one more time, then I want to turn to the book of Hebrews just for a moment. Surely he had borne our griefs, verse number 4, carried our sorrows. We did esteem him smitten, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He bruised for our iniquities. Chastising our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let's read verse number 6 one more time before we read Hebrews. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Turn me to Hebrews. Book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews 9, 24 through 28. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 24. Begin reading. For Christ did not enter into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but to heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God. Guess who for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest enter into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world have he appeared. I want you to notice this. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment. So Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin and the salvation. Notice what it said in verse number 26. Look at the last part of that verse. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. I want to say this morning, may God bless the reading of his word. Father, bless it to our hearts. Bless it to each one of us that's here this morning. Open our heart to receive that you have us to receive. Understand by your eternal word and eternal power. I pray, Lord, that you'd save the one closest to eternity this morning that might not know you. Oh, God, I pray that you'd save to the uttermost. If there's one here this morning, Lord, that has never had their sin put away, I pray that this may be the morning they could come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what you've done for them. Let it be so now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Back to the book of Isaiah. Just a few moments. I want to look at particular verses 4, 5, and 6 briefly. He said, "Surely he had borne our griefs. He carried our sorrows." Listen, God bore all of our griefs, carried our sorrows. He was smitten of God and afflicted. God smit him and afflicted him. Listen, where he wouldn't have to afflict and smit us. Jesus was willing to take our place. That's what it's all about. He's wounded for our transgression. He's bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement and our peace was upon him. By stripes we are healed. Look at verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Listen, we've turned in this own way. And the Lord have laid on the iniquity of us all. You know what? All of us have turned. All of us have gone astray. The Bible said all. You know, don't you notice something in verse number 6 that starts with all and it winds up with all. It's not some people have gone astray. It's not some that's wandered. He said, all like sheep have gone astray. But thank God, all have gone astray. But at the end of that verse said that he's laid iniquity, he's taken the iniquity of us all and took it away. There's only one thing that can take away sin. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one can put it away. He's the only one can take it away. You may try to turn from it. We need to turn from it and run from it and everything else. But it takes Jesus to take away the sin. And listen, he bore it on this tree. He bore that sin on the tree. And we've gone astray. Everybody's gone their own way. I want you to think about that. But we, like sheep, have gone astray. It says, and we've turned everyone to his own way. You know what the problem is today? The same problem has always been, and it's going our own way. He said, everyone has turned to his own way. You know what our problem was before the Lord saved us? We're running our own way, doing our own thing, going where we want to go, doing what we want to do, and forgetting God. We weren't taking him in the reason that it was God. We've turned our own way. Running. Doing our own will. Doing our own ways. Doing our own work. And forgetting. Forgetting God's way. He said, you've turned to your own way. Sheep. Hey. My sheep, hear my voice. And they followed me. But there was a time we was wandering, straying, going in our own way and will. But I'm so glad. Hey, God come seeking me. He come hunting me. Listen, I was going my own way, doing my own thing, going my own direction, and on like I was going. But you know what? The Lord, when he died on that cross, I want you to get a hold of this. When the Lord died on that cross, he said, did you know he was forsaken for us that we would not be forsaken? You just don't. Sometimes we don't realize what our Lord went through. Sometimes we don't realize what the debt that our Lord paid to take away sin. He came to take away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Listen, it couldn't be taken away. Listen, the old priest, in the old days of the old priesthood, it wasn't taken away. It was put off another year. They had to come back into there and offer sacrifices again. Just as sure as everything. They had to come back, Brother Donnie, offer the sacrifices again. They was put off another year. But thanks be unto God, Jesus Christ died once for sin. He died once and at once was hit. He died at once to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. It won't go back to the cross. He won't go do it again. Not at all. He put it away. I'm going to tell you, they couldn't put it away. The blood of goats and bulls could not put it away. No way. You know, I was thinking about when Jesus died. He was forsaken of God. He said, my God, why are I forsaken? But I was thinking about when Stephen was stoned to death. Listen, when he was stoned to death, he wasn't forsaken. No, he wasn't. You know why I know he wasn't? The Bible said the heavens were open. Oh, hallelujah. He saw the glory of God. You know what he saw? He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. In his death, he saw the Lord. And you know what? In Jesus' death for you and I, he was forsaken of God. Because, listen, God couldn't look on sin. Jesus never sinned, but he had to be forsaken. Listen, for a moment on that cross, when darkness covered the earth, because he became sin for you. And he became sin that you and I not could have life. Hallelujah. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way that your sin can be taken away.
If you don't get your sin taken away, I won't tell you something. Let me tell you a few things that won't take away your sin. I'll tell you one thing, it won't take it away. Our good works won't take it away. They're not good enough. Listen, I've been just baptized. How we fix it won't take them away. It must be Christ that takes them away. You can live as good a righteous life as you can live by the laws of God's word. It still won't take them away. He's the only thing that can take it away. Listen, children, young people, you can obey your parents to the T. You can live as good a life as you can live, but still won't take your sin away. You're born in this world a sinner. When I think about the very fact, what people don't realize, when you get to the age of capability, I know children are covered, I believe. The Bible teaches that. The psalmist David lost one. He said, I can't bring him back. I'm going where he is. But there comes a time when that capability comes and you realize from wrong, from right. And you realize that you've sinned. You're going to be held accountable to God. And there's not but one thing that will take away your sins. It's not having a godly mother or a godly father. It's not going to church or listen to not going to church. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, the only thing that can take away sin. Put it away. So those things cannot take it away. Let me say this. Death can take it away. You say, well, I'll die and get away from it directly. No. It's appointed man wants to die and after death, a judgment. Death can't take your sin away. Death can't put it away. The only one remedy, that's Jesus. Hallelujah. You say, well, I'm going to repent. Well, you're going to have to repent. He'll give you grace and he'll give you goodness of God to lead you to repentance. But you can repent in yourself all day long. You can try to turn all you want to turn. But if you don't trust Jesus, you don't accept what he's done for you. You know why I have, thank God, I can have peace in my heart. You know, I'm thinking now about something. There was some in the Bible. There was a Pharisee. They had a bunch in that hour, and we still got a bunch of them. They got Pharisees and got a scribe. They had scribes that didn't know the Lord. We do too. They had Pharisees and they had Sadducees and they had publicans. But you know what? Being all that couldn't take them away either. It was old Paul on the road to Damascus. You know, Paul will tell you, he told in his writings afterwards, he was strict to the law, Pharisee. But when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, oh, that was different then. Paul couldn't put his sin away nowhere else. Couldn't put it away being a Pharisee. Mm-mm. Couldn't put it away being a Sadducee.
Couldn't even put it away being a scribe in that hour. It was right in the laws. It's take Christ and him crucified. Our wonderful Savior. He's the only one.
My question is today, has your sin been put away? Oh, where is it? Death can't put it away either. Being religious can't put it away.
Keeping the laws of the land can't put it away. It takes Christ. Maiden, say that hell can't put it away.
Did you know? This is what
almost got me to weep him. I was thinking about it. It come to my mind again. Did you know if you don't get your sin put away before you die, it'll be on you through eternity? Death won't move it. Hell won't move it. You said God don't put nobody in hell. You trample the blood of his son under your feet, and you'll see. Count it as an unworthy thing. I'm pleading with somebody this morning. I believe God's pleading with somebody this morning to make that thing right with God in your heart. Oh, listen, has sin been put away? Has it been put away?
Covered in the blood of the Lamb. Are you going your own way?
My heart breaks all week long as I come in contact with so many people that are so cold and callous to the things of God. And even their own condition.
Has your sin been put away? Death won't put it away. Hell won't put it away. You say, preacher, what'll put it away? Nothing but the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God.
You know what? There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. That's it. I was reading in Psalm 103 again. You know what it said, don't you? Most of you probably can quote it. It said in verse number 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Number one on the list, forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who forgiveth all our iniquities, who healeth all our diseases, who redeemeth our life from destruction, who satisfieth our mouth with good things.
He said, there's benefits. You know, I was reading another verse in Psalm, thanks, 116, verse number 12. You know what I'm saying? What shall we render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward us? What are you going to give him back? What are you going to thank him for? What are you going to praise him for? Number one benefit, your sins forgiven. Your sins taken away.
What are you going to give him back for it? What are you going to render to him? One time they was trying to pin up Jesus and trying to question him and asked him about Caesar. He said, render the things of Caesar to him, things of God to his. What are you going to render back to God? Tell you something. You think you own your property, your house, or own your whatever? Better go pay taxes. Not saying that ugly, I'm just saying that's just the way it is. Guess what? If I'm going to do that, and I am, that's the law of the land. You know what? How much more should I render to God for his benefits? You know what? Sometimes we'll complain about what we had taxes and all that, but a lot of them goes for good benefits. We must have protection. Some, you know, there's all in a while back trying to say we don't need the law, do away with the law. You better not never hope we don't ever do that. You're talking about chaos. We need fire protection. We need all these things. A lot of these things, benefits.
What are you going to render back to God?
number one benefit for sins forgiven. Taking them away. Took them away. Hallelujah. I tell you the night, August night, I remember the date. I could probably get me a calendar and find it if I had one to go back that far. But you know what? I'll never forget when he took my sins away. I get talked to people all the time about the Lord, and about half the time I get told, I don't know, I hope I'm going to heaven. That'll be more than that. I got to think about that the other day, Brother Raymond. One of the days the Lord's going to let me preach on how many things I know. You know what? I know I have eternal life. I know I've been born again. Glory to God. You can know where you're going. You can know. I don't want to live this life and die from this world and leave this world not knowing where I'm going. You're going to have assurance. Thank God for the benefit of forgiveness of sins. What am I going to render back to God? I want to give him service. I want to give him my life. I want you to give it. We've got something to do for God. I want to tell you something. God has something special for you. Look at that verse. Look at that verse. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He said, look at that verse. Gone his own way in chapter 53, verse number 6. Gone his own way. You went your way before God saved you. Now God's got a way for you to go now. God has got something. Did you know you're a special person? And God's got something for you to do and render back to him for the benefits you get for him. God's got you to be you. I'm not you and you're not me. But God has something for you and he's got something for me. He's got it. Just as we went our own way, we turned to the Lord. He took our sins away, bore them on there, moved them. Now he's got something special for you to do. He got something special for me to do. What a Savior. I was reading somewhere or another this week. There was a preacher. I forget which one it was now. He made a wonderful preacher. Great man of God. And he was, first time he preached, he was 14 years old, preaching with the Salvation Army. And said he was just going to preach about 5 minutes. And what, I can't remember the text he took. But said he got to preaching after a while. One that was in charge of the Salvation Army told him, said, son, he said, you'll have to tell us. He was only going to preach about 5-10 minutes on the streets. We had to go in the hall and do something. And he said he still was trying to tell it what God had really done for him and how God was moving. But you know what the other man said to him? Son, you've been at about 30 minutes. He told him, said, son, we got to go. He said, you'll have to tell us the rest of it later. And you know what? He said, he never has got through telling it since then. Started when he's 14 years old. And I say to you young people, don't waste no time. I come to the Lord and I was 20 years old. Surrendered a priest and I was almost 25. And you know what? I'm thankful I did when I did. But I had to go over again. All I can regret is I'd have, I didn't come earlier. Bow down before you. I've never regretted coming to the Lord. Never regretted what he's done for me. Never. Never. God's got something for you today. He's got a special thing for you. I want you to ponder on that. God loves you just like he does me, and I love me like he does you. He got something special for you. And he wants you to render something back to him. In thanks and praise. And go the way. We've been our way long enough. It's time. Listen. Thank God he turns us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, Lord, his own way. The Lord had laid on him iniquity of us all. Hey, he took your sin. He took my sin. Bore it on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. You know what Peter said about this wonderful Savior, don't you? He said you weren't redeemed with such corruptible things as silver and gold from your old traditions and your vain conversation. No, you weren't redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Him without spot or wrinkle. Listen, without blemish, without spot. That's what we was redeemed with. Oh, God got something for you to do. He wants you to get at it for the glory of God. Hallelujah. So he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad he bore our griefs. When you're going through sorrow, just remember, he carried them. He carried your sorrows. He bore your griefs. That's in verse 4. He was afflicted. That's to remember when the Bible said many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered out of him all. When you're going through afflictions, remember, he was afflicted. When you're going through sorrow, just remember he bore it for you. Praise God. When it seemed like you smitten, stricken, going through anything that you may have to face, just remember, you never go anything through anything that he ain't already been through for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You ever been wounded? Well, some of us have. You ever been wounded in the heart? You ever been have someone cut you in the heart with words they've spoken? Can you imagine what our Lord went through with? Can you imagine how they ridiculed him, mocked him, made fun of him? Or if you be the king, you be who you say you are, come down from that cross. Yeah, but you know what? He said you saved others. Listen, you know why he stayed up there? Save you and I. Stayed up there to save us. Our wonderful Lord did. You know what? He's bruised. Oh, he was bruised for our iniquities. Thank God for a Savior like that. If you go through what he went through with for us, not a thing that you and I should be willing to go through with for him. Oh, he was a chastisement of our peace was upon him. You know what? I don't know exactly. That may be saying this. He was chastised where we could have peace. That's what I'm thinking in him. But he was chastised. The Bible says, He the chastisement of my peace was upon him. You know why I got peace in my heart tonight, this morning? Because of his chastisement that he went through with. Thank God for that peace that passeth all understanding. I have it because what he did for me. You see, that's where it all is. Don't quit trying to live for God by yourself. Quit trying. Paul, he said, me to live is Christ. Paul said, me to live is Christ. He said, me to die is gain. But you know what he said? I'm Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. I live not I, but the life that I now live, I live with the faith of the Son of God. It's not I, but it's Christ in me. That's what's doing a living. What Paul was saying, it's Christ in me. And you know what it was? It's Christ in him, the hope of glory too. If you don't have Christ in you, you don't have no hope. You don't have any. By stripes we are healed. Are healed. We healed of all things Adam brought on us. Spiritual. Thank God. Hey.
He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of peace, and laid upon him by his stripes that we healed. If you know his body was beaten and bruised and striped, I'll tell you something. Not only can he forgive sins, but thank God he's a healer even our bodies. He sure is. Thank God for doctors and nurses. Thank God for medicine. Thank God for all his other things that we have to help us. But he still the great physician. I know at least two. I'm going to say I'm standing here this morning because of his mighty, marvelous healing power. I know it, sir. I know at least two, if not three, had the similar operation I had. Had problems like I had. Didn't make it. So I know one thing. God still the great physician. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's things. Thank God for the doctor. There's things. They'll tell you. It's out of our hands. They'll tell you I've done all I can do. And they'll do all they can do. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever forget. God can go beyond that. He's not limited. His hand not short. His ear not heavy. He got all power and all authority. So he has the last final say, don't he? He sure does. So even in our sickness and our afflictions, he is the healer. Hallelujah. I'm glad he is. So we know at the end of the world, he appeared. Put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. My last question is one I've been asking. Well, it's two of them. One of them, has your sin been put away? If it happened, this is the time. The Bible said the day of salvation. Don't wait tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. May not come for you, may not come for me, may not come for any of us. I don't know about you, I'm looking for the rapture. He's soon coming. Hallelujah. Second question, not only has your sin been put away, but the second question, what can I render unto him for the benefits he's given to me? You probably won't ever think about it. Maybe you do. I imagine you do. You ever thought about you could have been born in Africa? You ever thought about you could have been born in Russia? You ever thought about you could have been born somewhere else other than where you are? Ponder about. I don't know about you, but I'm well satisfied who I am, where I was born, family I was born in, and you ought to be too. Because I don't believe God makes no mistakes. But you know, I won't take for granted how God's blessed what he's done for me. And what he's done for you. Where he placed me. Where he put me. Hallelujah. Tell you something. Isn't it amazing? When you stop and think about a world of millions that we're living in. And you are you. And I'm. How God can make so many different individuals is amazing to me. How they can tell who we are by our fingerprints. We don't have to do this at work camp where we go. But if you go to the other one, they got a thing where you stick your fingers. And they're going to find out if you who you say you are. Right? Well, I want to be who God made me to be. That's as simple as I know how to put it. And God wants you to be who you, He made you to be. You special? You individually made? Wondrously, as Hutt said, wondrously made. And him and his mama's gone with the day. They got a funeral at 2 o'clock. I said, it's just hard to go back. But I said, got to be fine. Go right on. But you know what? He said the other day, you know, he was quoting some scripture. He said, you know, God wondrously and fearfully made us. I said, glory to God. Get that word in the youngest's heart. You know what? I'm not being critical, but I'll tell you what we need to do. If young is going to have one of these things that always playing with all the time, get him a Bible and let him use it. They say he got a Bible. You know, I had one one time where you had all the, you could look up stuff, you know, on a Bible, and I know that I've been told that you can get them got the Bible. I'm right. Is that right? Take that other one away and give them that one for a while. I'm serious. I'm not being critical or mean. I'm just saying, give it to them. If they, you know. Or give them that one like this. Get some of that in there. God's fearfully, wonderfully made us. He made you, and He made me. You're you, and I'm me. And God's got every one of us different. But I want to say this again. He's got something special for you. We need to render our service back to Him. Render ourselves back to Him for all the benefits He's given to us. Hallelujah. You know, that's one thing when you're looking for a job. Of course, when you've been in business for yourself all the years, I don't know where no benefits are, really, but just other than that. But I mean, there's certain jobs you can get, they call it, got benefits to them, right? That's good. God said we'd render something back to Him for all His benefits toward us. You see what I'm saying? Let's do it. Hey, here's number one. God saved you. See if we can let Him use us to bring somebody else to Christ. Huh? I challenge you this week. Talk to somebody about the Lord. Invite somebody to God's house. And bring somebody with you if you can. To the house of God. Let's praise Him. Let's stand.